Romans chapter 14 is where we shall begin as we consider accountability, which is the title I have chosen for today's teaching, accountability. We live in a world, of course, which has an increasing degree of irresponsibility and a failure, or I should say a refusal in most cases, to accept responsibility. And accountability, simply put, is a willingness to accept responsibility or sometimes to account for one's action. A person who's accountable is one who must meet an obligation or suffer the consequence for failing to do so. If you work in any given organization and you're given a responsibility to accomplish something, they will hold you accountable for it. If you break a law and you're caught, you will be held accountable for that. But in all of life, there are things that we do, all of us, things that we say, and our behavior as such is something we are to be accountable for. To do anything less would be to be irresponsible. People tend these days to give excuses for any and everything. And really, excuses only satisfy those that give them. Also, people sometimes point to the bad behavior in others to excuse their own bad behavior. Bad behavior in others does not in any way, shape, or form exonerate any of us from what we do. Each and every one of us are responsible for our own actions, absolutely no exceptions. In Romans chapter 14, and of course this is doctrine, this is how to believe rightly. Believing is a verb, connotes action. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. If a person doesn't know much, hasn't been around very often in the scriptures, that's not well educated there, you could consider them weak in the faith, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So a person who doesn't expose themselves to the word of God, who doesn't hear it to the end that they're allowing it to sink in and act on it, that person would be weak in the faith. They could be a new person, in which case they would have at least the reason for being weak being that they haven't had the time to be exposed, or they could be somebody that's been around a while. But considering that new person, you receive these people without doubtful disputations. A person who's newly come to the family of God should be received with open arms, and their ignorance ought not to be held against them. And we can be assured that there will be a great amount of ignorance for a person who has not been around very long. We cannot assume, and should not assume, that other people will behave the way we do. Don't judge other people by your own thoughts and precepts. You may not do a certain thing in life. You may find that unpalatable. But that doesn't mean somebody else wouldn't do it. So don't expect others to do what you do. And when they're new, you receive them. For one, verse 2, believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So there's the criteria that you do the things you do for God. Whether, of course, there's only a couple examples there. One is the eating, and the other is regarding the day, the time, or whatever. And what you eat, a lot of times it has to do, it isn't just food, could be, what you eat is what you allow in your life. Just because you allow something in your life doesn't mean that the other person has to allow that. Or that if you don't allow something in your life, that another person doesn't have to allow that. The main point is, are you giving God thanks? Is God at the focal point of your thinking and your actions and your behavior? If not, then everything we're talking about that people do is nothing more than carnal. And each and every one of us are responsible for the actions, for the words, for the deeds in our lives. Nobody's exempt. And what other people do or don't do has no bearing on our accountability for what we do or don't do. A lot of times people, well, you know, this and that. But that is not an excuse. God does not look at it that way. So even when somebody else is doing something which is horrendous, hurtful, offensive, whatever, that does not give us the carte blanche to go ahead and do whatever. Now, many times we'll respond, we'll get angry, we'll snap at somebody. We've all done that. But that, again, we need to be in control. We need to be composed at all times, to the best of our ability. And, you know, people have a tendency of, when we're talking about carnality, judging another person's sin as worse than their own sin. For all have sinned. We need to remember that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us falls into that category. We may not all be responsible for the same failures, but we've all failed somewhere along the line. And so we cannot look at somebody else and their failures and begin to judge them. That does not mean, however, that we have to accept the behavior in other people or that we can't challenge them. But in doing so, we have to acknowledge our own behavior, because it needs to be based on the Word of God and what's right and proper, not on what one person thinks or another thinks. Because one person thinks this is okay, and another thinks, well, this isn't okay. The example here is the day, and another example was what you eat. It's okay to do this. Well, no, it's not okay to do that. But what does the Word say? None of us liveth to himself, and no man, verse 7, dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. See, everybody falls into this category. Each and every one of us are responsible for our own behavior. Doesn't matter what other people do to when it comes to what we do. And that's a big challenge. I understand that. I face that challenge myself, as does everybody. We all face it. For it is written, every tongue shall confess. Verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There is a day coming when we all will have to give an account of ourselves. Look in Matthew. No exceptions. So accountability is very, very important. Matthew chapter 12. Accountability is, you know, it's just Something we have to resign ourselves to. Don't make excuses for our failures. And don't use somebody else's shortcomings to excuse our own bad behavior. And how do we know what's good behavior, what's bad behavior? Well, the scriptures tell us. Here in Matthew 12, verse 35, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So if we want good things to come out of our heart, we must put good things in our heart. I always think of it as a cookie jar. If you want to get chocolate chips out of the cookie jar, you have to put chocolate chips into the cookie jar. If you like oatmeal, raisin, or whatever, you got to put them in there. You can't expect the cookie jar to give you what you don't put in it. And the same thing is true for our hearts. What is the treasure of your heart? A good man, a good woman, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man, evil woman, out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Speaking of evil and wicked, I was reading the book of Psalms, I believe it was the other day, and this verse that I've read so many, many times just struck me differently. This is a little side note, which I'm reminded of because of the word evil here, but it says in this particular psalm, a wicked person, or the wicked, borroweth and payeth not again. And it just hit me. Oh, people who do that, people who borrow money and then skip out, or stick the person they borrowed it from, or the group, or the organization, or whatever, they're what? They're wicked. And then it said, a good man, or the righteous showeth mercy and lendeth. Just a little side note. Never struck me that way before. But people who have who are prone to that, you know, borrowing and not repaying, they're wicked. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, or judged. Even that which you speak, it's not just that which you do. And you know, sometimes, if not all the time, words are more powerful even than actions. You could do something, you could beat somebody with your fists, bruise them up, they'll heal. But sometimes words just take forever and ever and ever. So, you know, it's like it says in the Old Testament, the writer of this particular passage said, put a watch on my mouth, O Lord, you know, that I don't say things that are bad. And the only way we can do that is by putting good stuff in our hearts. Look in Ecclesiastes. So, you know, if we spew out rottenness out of our mouths, we're going to be accountable for it. Now, you could ask for forgiveness and change, for sure. But God holds each and every one of us responsible for our actions, our words, and our deeds. Now, I know we live in a world that has taught most people to shuck and shun responsibility. Accountability, however, is an obligation and a willingness to respect that obligation and accept that responsibility of words and deeds that we do. And whether we do or not, whether we ignore that or whether we are circumspect with it, God will still hold us accountable. As I said, you know, the word accountable or accountability has a lot of nuance behind it. To be accountable means, well, I'm obliged to accept personal responsibility. It also means in some cases that there are consequences if I fail to do so. You know, if you get caught breaking a law and they catch you doing it, or they get, you know, enough proof that you've done it, enough evidence, well, they're going to hold you accountable for that. Even there, I know. Today, our laws today, even there, there's a lot of wrist slapping. You know, that, oh, it lets you go to warning and go to court, and especially if you're a real miscreant, they let you go quite a few times in hopes of rehabilitation, which, of course, doesn't work, does it? Consequence is a great teacher. There's no doubt about that. When you try to remove the consequence from somebody who has violated this obligation to be responsible for personal words and deeds, then all you're doing is helping them to continue doing that, become an enabler. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Because that's the way it is. That's the way God has always been with man. That's the way it is today. And you know, the truth of this, the reality of this, the exhortations, the commands, they go all the way back. All the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve disobeyed a command of God, single commandment, and as a consequence, they lost their connection to God. As a further consequence, sin and therefore sickness, disease, and death passed upon all mankind. So there was a consequence for their failure to be responsible. They were therefore held accountable. And sadly, the entire human race wound up the brunt of that. And a lot of times when you do certain things, you involve other people. And so you want to think about the things that you do. You know, you're free to do what? You want to eat whatever, eat whatever. You want to, you know, you want to trust the day to be the best day in the week. So I like Sunday especially. Sunday's our favorite day of the week. But it's no greater than any other day, and I don't push that on anybody else. You shouldn't either. That's the point of it. Don't allow the things that you allow in your life to become a burden to your fellow man. I think we'll get to that eventually here. Everything that we do in life, we alone are responsible for it. You can't blame somebody else for the things that you do. And, you know, you can't blame the devil either. The devil made me do it? No, he didn't. Look in Matthew 18. Down to the 23rd verse, if you would. This is on forgiveness. Forgiveness is an issue here, as is judgment. Forgiveness, you forgive people, you'd be happy. It's true. To not forgive, to remain bitter and resentful, does nothing to the person you're bitter and resentful against. Does everything to suck the life and joy out of you. It's a real life sucker, bitterness is. So I just read something that somebody wrote. I can't remember the exact thing now, but the last thing was, I think Carmine posted it on Facebook. And it was the last thing in it was that if you forgive, you're happy. You know, it's true. If you don't forgive, you're not happy. Can't be. So forgiveness is a big part of it. You know, you can't blame somebody else for your failure to forgive them. That's back to accountability. You and you alone are responsible to be forgiving. I am responsible to be forgiving. Just like I'm responsible to be loving, kind, and considerate. Well, we all are. Nobody's exempt from that. Well, you don't know what kind of a mutt this person was. I can't forgive them because of what they did. Well, what they did is what they did. And what they did, they are accountable for. What you did or didn't do, it's your responsibility, and you are accountable for being forgiving. So this is in the context of forgiving others. And Jesus spoke a parable here, and he said in verse 23, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." You know, this is also with holding them responsible, that they're obliged to do what he said or suffer the consequence of not doing it. "And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made." Now, it's a parable, so there's one point being made here. But a parable must be something that could actually happen. And this is something that could actually happen. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him," or besought him, "saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." So there you have passion, you have patience, compassion, and forgiveness. They're all closely linked there. You lose patience, there's not going to be much compassion. If there's not much compassion, likely not going to be any forgiveness. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's the same dude. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. So you'd say this guy's a bit of a hypocrite, wouldn't you? Because he's putting all his anger on this other person when he himself, guilty of the same kind of thing, asked for forgiveness. You see, so there is more than a modicum of accountability here. He's accountable for his actions. The Lord forgave him, had patience with him, compassion, and forgave him, but he couldn't show the same to somebody else. You know, what's the old golden rule? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's true, isn't it? Treat other people like you like to be treated yourself. Does that mean that they are not accountable for their actions because you treat them like you'd like to be treated? No. It doesn't mean that. They're still accountable. You are accountable. They are accountable. Every single person that walked the face of this earth from Adam till today has been accountable, held accountable by God for their actions, for their words and deeds. Did they in their lives, every single person, take personal responsibility? Doubtful. Probably a small percentage did. And maybe that for only a small amount of their life. But let's wake up and let's do that ourselves. Let's be accountable. And you know, I learned a long time ago, this man, Bill Mays, who taught me a number of things about public speaking and that. And one of the things he said was, when you are wrong, admit it quickly and emphatically. And that ends the whole issue. Letting things stew and brew and stew and brew and make excuses and point fingers at other people and blame this and blame that. Excuses, excuses, excuses. My dad had a saying about excuses and what they were like. I'll spare you that. Perhaps you're familiar with it. But everybody can have an excuse. None of them are any good except to the person giving them. So here you got this guy who's doing this. "And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not." Now, this same guy that wouldn't have patience asked for patience from his Lord and received it. "Instead, he cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because, pardon me, thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Look, every one of us has needed forgiveness. Initially, we needed to be forgiven from the sins that we had accumulated over the years, along with the sin of Adam, and obviously that meant death for us. And that meant no Spirit of God. That meant no God, no hope in this world, right? We received that forgiveness when we accepted Jesus Christ. And what God has forgiven you from should be a testament to you that you should be willing to forgive anybody else of anything. And I got to tell you, I'm not perfect by any far stretch. I know, that's a hard pill to swallow. But I am not perfect. And I have no problem, as an imperfect man, I have no problem forgiving people. I don't. I know what God's forgiven me of. I have no problem. I will forgive anybody of anything. Forgiveness for me is not usually an issue. What's an issue for me is when people continue to do the same thing and don't change. Then I think that forgiveness is not such a big thing there. Unless they appeal and they want to change, it's, you know, it's a different story. But when a person continues to do the same thing, I mean, I know you're to forgive them 7 times 7 times 49 times 49, whatever, of course. But God isn't mocked. If I ask God for forgiveness, I've got to mean it. I got to be serious, or it's no soap, right? No go. And I got to ask. If I want forgiveness from the Father now that I've been saved and I do something messed up, I have to, first of all, I have to ask. I have to humble myself and ask. And second of all, I need to mean it and not just do it like a rote thing. So I have an issue with that, but I don't have any problem forgiving anybody from anything. I really don't. Honest, I don't. And the reason is because I know full well what I've been forgiven of. And we should all know that. So we're supposed to forgive others from the heart. And that is our responsibility. It's not their responsibility. We're obligated to forgive others because we've been forgiven. Just like this parable. This man was obligated to pass it on. What do they call it? Pay it forward? Pay that forward. Yeah, look at Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke, you are after Mark. You thought I was going to say I'm your father, right? All right, Luke 16. A certain rich man, which had a steward, the same was accused on him that he had wasted his goods, called him and said, How is it that I hear of this, of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Here, accountability has with it the consequence of whatever the accountability requires, should this individual, this steward, fail to be a good steward. And this, of course, is a parable. And he's called the unrighteous steward here. Because of some of his actions, what he's done here, but he's also called wise because he thinks in how to make it right. But it's a parable. And a steward is a manager. Who do you suppose manages your life? You do. God doesn't manage your life. God's not responsible for what you do or don't do. Neither are the other people in the world responsible for what you do or what you don't do. Nobody's responsible for my actions but me. So I manage my own affairs. And he called it, he said, I heard this in verse 3, the steward said on himself, well, what am I going to do for my Lord taking away the stewardship? You know, I'll get fired. I can't dig. I'm not going to do that. Beg. I'm ashamed to do that. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors on them, and he said to the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, well, take that bill and sit down quickly and write me 50. Then to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take thy bill and write down 80. That'd be 80. He's cutting them all a break here. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I'm not going to get into all the details of this parable, but I want to focus on the next couple of verses as they apply to the concept of accountability. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give unto you that which is your own? Can't serve two masters. If you can't take care of somebody else's affairs, like the steward here, how can you expect anybody to give you your own affairs to take care of? The simplest thing that we can manage, steward, in our own lives is be accountable. Be responsible for your words and your deeds. Don't blame anybody or anything else on them. Don't make excuses for behavior. Admit it when you fall short. Be accountable. That is the simplest thing that we can do in managing our own things. And of course, many of the things that we have to manage do affect other people. If what you're doing is affecting somebody else's life, for God's sake, stop it. If you want to do whatever, do it, like we read in opening. You know, if you esteem the day or don't esteem the day, fine. Your business. But don't judge the other guy. Don't give him a hard time over what he does or doesn't do. Don't allow the things that you do to affect others. Now, sometimes that's almost unavoidable. But I think in most cases, if we manage our own life and do that very simple thing, which is our own, that simplest part of stewardship, be accountable. That's what a steward is. He's accountable. And accountability is more than just taking responsibility. It bears with it the concept of if you don't, there is a consequence. You follow? If you don't take part, I know people get away with it all the time. You think? You honestly think that people in the world who are irresponsible get away with anything? You know, the world calls it karma. What goes around comes around. It's very simple. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man doeth, he receives the... whatever seed you sow, you get the crop, the plant. And I want a bumper crop, but I don't want a bumper crop of crap. Do you? Who would plant? Oh, let's plant the worst thing possible. Let's plant muskmelon. When I was a kid, I used to go to my Uncle Jimmy's farm. He had these things used to grow for the hogs. They were called muskmelon. And I don't know, but his corn that he grew was for the hogs and the cattle also. It was not for human consumption somehow. I don't know, it was hard like a rock. But these muskmelons, they're about the size of a cantaloupe. And the hogs would eat them. They'd just bust them suckers open and eat them. And they were nasty. They smelled, they stunk. But I'd play with it. I'd take a muskmelon and use it like a, you know, soccer ball or basketball. It would bounce. It would bounce it off the barn and bounce it off the barn. It wouldn't even break. Well, unless I had a bunch of pigs to feed, what do I want muskmelons for, right? Where would I go plant muskmelon? I would plant, like, you know, honeydew melon or cantaloupe melon or watermelon, something that's, you know, tasty, right? Not a stinky muskmelon that pigs eat that you can't. I couldn't bust it open. I would slam that thing on the ground. It would just bounce. So what do you want for a crop in your life? You want good harvest or you want bad harvest? Either way, it's coming up. So nobody gets away with nothing. They don't. More often than not, they don't make the association of why. Why did this happen to me? Why? Well, because you acted the fool for X amount of time. You planted all these negative seeds. Now you got a crop of crap, right, to deal with. I can remember years ago people getting saved and coming to the Word, and then their mailbox would be filled with bills, and blame the devil. Well, wait a minute, then. The devil didn't run up these credit card bills. Maybe the devil pushed the button to get them all to come due today, but if you have a credit card bill, just using this as an example, you and you alone are the one that ran that bill up. Blame the devil for that. I can remember people doing that. I thought even then, you need to think about what you're saying here. We are all accountable. It's the simplest of things. Just be responsible. Take responsibility for your own words and deeds. Look in Galatians 6. Galatians, of course, being correction. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So if you find somebody doing something that's wrong, the attitude should be, how do I restore them? Not how do I stomp them into mud, right? How do I restore them? If I don't, I haven't considered myself, and now I'm tempted, I'm in the same thing. Okay, you do something really ticks me off. So now, I know you're responsible for what you did. So now I come off unglued, I do whatever, I stomp a mud hole in you, and now I'm off too, you see. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now the word burdens there is the Greek word baros, B-A-R-O-S, which is a weight that you can help to relieve. In other words, it's a transferable weight. It's a burden that you can share with somebody. We get the English word wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow. I know people that thought it was wheelbarrow, but it's not a wheelbarrow. It's a wheelbarrow because it's got a wheel on it and you can move weight with it. Okay? So this weight, this burden, is transferable. It's movable. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. There you go. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And then again, if you read in the English, it seems contradictory, but the word burden there is from a different Greek word. It's from the Greek word portion, P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N. We get the English word portion from that. And that is an obligation that you have. Everyone bears their own obligation. It's a burden that cannot be shared. One such as we are speaking of here, accountability. You cannot share in the responsibilities that I have as a man, as a son of God, as a Christian, as a minister, as a husband, as a father, a grandfather, all that. You can't share in that. That's my responsibility. You can't share it in what I say or do. I mean, I'm responsible for what I say and do. And so that's a burden that we all bear. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Because that's where it comes in, you know. You get ticked off, and you give up. But don't. For in due season you'll reap. If you faint not, reap what? Well, you will reap life everlasting. That's the context. Reap. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them of the household of faith. I have so many different verses I wanted to share with you, but for the sake of time, we're just going to go to Matthew 11. And we'll conclude there. I feel I've made the point from the scripture. There are other verses you can look at. Plenty of them, but we are responsible. You don't get rewards for what somebody else does. You get rewards for what you do, you see. And so, let's be accountable. Let's do our best to accept personal responsibility for our words and deeds. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The weight he's got is light. And to be yoked means, just like the beasts of burden, they would put two animals together. You want them equally yoked, otherwise, when you go to plow, one animal will pull the other animal or hold the other animal back. You want a straight furrow in life. You want things to go straight. You want to plow straight. You have two equally yoked animals. Well, let's yoke ourselves with the Master. He fully understood what it meant to take personal responsibility. He fully understood what patience, compassion, and forgiveness were about. He fully understood what it meant to not judge other people for the things that they do, but to use the Word of God as the standard for all practice in life. As a matter of fact, the Bible should be our only practice, our only rule for faith and practice. So let's yoke ourselves with the Master. You yoke yourself with the Master, and you will find rest.